Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Last Spike, The Great Railway. 1881-1885 is Pierre Burton's major historical nonfiction account of the building of the Canadian Pacific Railway, the transcontinental line completed in 1885. Written for a general audience, the book reconstructs the political, financial, and human drama behind one of Canada's defining national projects. Rather than focusing mainly on engineering technique, Burton emphasizes the personalities, crises, and ambitions that shaped the railway's progress, including the syndicate of investors, the federal government, and the workers who built the line under harsh conditions. The narrative presents the railway as more than an infrastructure project. It is treated as a nation-making event that tied together Eastern Canada, the prairies, and British Columbia, while also exposing the costs of expansion. The book is known for its vivid storytelling, broad historical scope, and attention to both celebrated leaders and overlooked laborers, especially Chinese workers and railway navvies. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the Canadian Pacific Railway as a nation-building project. Burton frames the CPR as a decisive instrument in Canadian political development, not simply as a transportation system. The railway is presented as the material link that helped bind a large and still fragile country together after Confederation, making Western settlement and federal authority more durable. This perspective gives the book its central argument the railway mattered because it turned an abstract national idea into a physical connection across the continent. Burton reinforces that claim by showing how the line shortened distance, encouraged migration, stimulated commerce, and gave the federal government leverage in the West. At the same time, the book suggests that nation building was not automatic. It depended on sustained political commitment, financial risk, and repeated intervention when the project nearly collapsed. The result is a history in which infrastructure becomes a test of state capacity. Readers come away seeing the CPR as both a symbol and an instrument of Canadian consolidation, with the last spike serving as a ceremonial climax to a larger story of national formation. Secondly, the syndicate, finance, and the business logic of railway power. A major thread in the book is the role of the syndicate of financiers and promoters who controlled the project from behind the scenes. Burton pays close attention to the business structure that made the railway possible, showing how the line was driven by investment strategy, land speculation, government support, and constant negotiations over money. This dimension matters because the CPR was never just a heroic engineering venture. It was also a highly leveraged corporate enterprise exposed to bankruptcy, political pressure, and creditor anxiety. The book highlights figures such as William Cornelius Van Horn and Donald Smith as examples of determined, hard-driving men who combined commercial discipline with political influence. Burton's narrative makes clear that the railway survived through a mixture of audacity and compromise, often under severe time pressure. By emphasizing finance, the book explains why the CPR could move so quickly despite enormous geographic obstacles. It also reveals the vulnerabilities of large-scale infrastructure projects, where visionary ambition must be matched by capital, contracts, and managerial force. Thirdly, labor, danger, and the human cost of building the line, the book does not present the railway as a clean triumph. It repeatedly returns to the physical hardship and human sacrifice involved in building through wilderness, mountains, and swamp. Burton describes the army of laborers who cut grades, laid track, and endured severe weather, poor supply lines, and dangerous terrain. Among the most important groups are the Chinese laborers in British Columbia, whose work was essential to the completion of the Western section, and whose suffering is one of the book's most morally significant subjects. Burton also writes about the broader workforce of navvies, many of whom lived precarious and exhausting lives while pushing the railway forward. This focus adds ethical depth to the history because the line's national importance is shown to rest on labor that was often underpaid, hazardous, and socially marginal. The result is a more balanced account of progress. The railway is an achievement, but one built through loss, inequality, and physical risk. That tension gives the narrative much of its force. Fourthly, crisis management, bankruptcy, rebellion, and emergency state action. One of the book's most effective themes is the repeated use of crisis to explain the railway's survival. Burton shows the CPR moving from one emergency to another financial collapse, political uncertainty, and the challenge of governing a rapidly changing West. These crises are not side issues. They are the mechanism through which the narrative develops. The railway is shown as nearly bankrupt at points, with its future sometimes hanging by a narrow margin, and Burton uses that precariousness to heighten the historical stakes. He also places the railway in direct relation to the real rebellion, when Van Horn rushed troops over a partially completed line, demonstrating how the CPR became a tool of military and political response. That episode illustrates the railway's dual role as commerce route and instrument of sovereignty. The Winnipeg land boom further shows how the line generated sudden economic transformation, creating speculation and urban growth alongside instability. Through these episodes, Burton presents the CPR as a project defined by constant improvisation under pressure. Lastly, Burton's narrative history style and its interpretive limits, the last spike is also important as an example of Pierre Burton's distinctive historical method. He writes in a lively, accessible style that favors anecdote, vivid personalities, and dramatic sequence over heavy academic apparatus. This makes the book readable and memorable, especially for general audiences who might not normally choose a large work of history. Burton's storytelling approach gives the railway construction an almost novelistic momentum, but it also shapes the interpretation. Critics have noted that the book sometimes accepts its larger thesis too readily, especially the claim that the CPR forged Canada into one nation, and that it gives more weight to political and financial drama than to technical construction detail. That imbalance is part of the book's identity. It is a narrative history first, not a specialized engineering study. For readers, this means the book is best understood as a broad interpretive account that combines solid research with strong authorial perspective. Its appeal lies in making a complex national project legible through character, conflict, and consequence. In conclusion, The Last Spike will appeal most to readers who want Canadian history presented as a compelling narrative rather than a dry institutional chronicle. It is especially valuable for students of national development, railway history, business history, and anyone interested in how large infrastructure projects reshape politics and identity. The book offers practical intellectual benefits by showing how money, labor, geography, and state power interact in a major national undertaking. It also encourages readers to think critically about progress, since Burton presents the CPR as both a triumph of organization and a story of exploitation, danger, and contingency. What sets this book apart from many histories of railroads is its scale of interpretation. It treats the railway not only as a technical achievement, but as a nation-making event with deep social consequences. Burton's strengths are his narrative control, his sense of character, and his ability to turn archival material into an accessible account of pressure and decision. For readers who want a vivid, sweeping, and historically grounded portrait of how Canada was linked together, this remains one of the most distinctive books in its category. If you would like to support Pierre Burton, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.